how is the soul stuff meant to explain the intentionality of consciousness? Well, the soul stuff will just be this stuff. How will it have intentionality built into it? It will just be this kind of immaterial substance, a ghostly counterpart to material substance. How will that necessarily have intentionality in it? It seems like it will also lack intentionality. How will it have transparency? Well, again, we don't know anything about this soul stuff, the properties of it, you know, what underlies our mental states. The idea of Descartes is there's some kind of soul stuff there which you could in principle investigate, and you'd find out what really constitutes mental states. But that stuff that underlies our mental states is something that's not presented to me now, it's not something transparent to me. So how could that soul stuff constitute what is available to me, what is transparent to me? So when you really focus on this idea of the immaterial substance, it's difficult to see how it constitutes any real advance metaphysically on the material substance. It seems to raise the same problems. So consciousness starts to seem like a very peculiar thing. It doesn't seem as if you can fit it into any conception of the world, material or immaterial, that makes it fit nicely, slot into that world. It seems to present problems no matter which way you look at it. Well, that's the situation that we seem to be presented with. It seems that consciousness is elusive to explanation no matter how you try to think about whatever its basis is, material or immaterial. What should we say about all of this? What might our response be? Well, the response to this that I favour and have argued for in various things I've written is that the mind or consciousness is really a deep mystery. Now, when I say that, you might say, well, that's not a very interesting thing to say. I mean, isn't that obvious from everything you've said so far that it's a mystery? Well, the reason what I'm saying isn't obvious is what I mean by saying it's a mystery, and I want to distinguish two things that might be meant by saying that. One thing is that might be meant is to say it's a mystery in the sense that it's a very ontologically peculiar, supernatural, peculiar entity which has no relation to the natural world of molecules, brains, neurons, and all the rest of it. It's something which in a very peculiar way floats free of all of that. In its nature, it's perhaps most akin to the supernatural character of something like God. It's something extremely peculiar ontologically in its very nature. It's something far removed from anything in the material world. Now, that way of putting it, of course, sounds very much like dualism, except it's a dualism which is even more undefined than Cartesian dualism. It refuses to say what kind of thing this special material is, the special stuff is that constitutes the mind. It won't even say it's immaterial stuff. It would just say, well, there's something mysterious there. We're not even going to try to characterize it with any terms of our language. Just a mysterious something. And it bears no relation to anything else in the physical world, particularly the brain. That's not the way I think of it. My view is that the mystery is completely an epistemological mystery. It's a mystery arising purely from the cognitive faculties of human beings. Let me try to give you a parallel so you can see what the spirit of this view is. If we look at other species and we wonder about their knowledge, we can readily agree, can't we, that there's various things which not only do these species not know about, but they can't know about. They're just not able, given their mental faculties, in order to find out the truth about these various subjects. For example, dogs, you know a fair amount of things. They're one of the more intelligent animals on the planet. But can dogs know about relativity theory? Do they know about relativity theory? No, they don't. They don't even know about Newtonian theory, let alone relativity theory. It's immensely plausible, it's hard to deny, that the dog brain is simply not up to understanding relativity theory. I mean, my brain isn't up to it. Most people's brain isn't up to it, so few people understand it. And why is that? Well, the dog's brain is relatively simple compared to the human brain. What the human brain can understand and take in depends on the capacities built into it. Where do those capacities come from? They come from evolution. The brain has evolved at a certain stage. It's evolved quite dramatically over the last tens and hundreds of thousands of years to have large frontal lobes. But our brain is just a naturally evolved system, and it has its limitations and it has its strengths. Everybody knows that human memory is limited. Everybody knows that human reasoning is limited. Everybody knows that the brains of other animals are limited in all sorts of ways that our brains are not limited. So, given the evidence for cognitive limitation on the part of species in general, and on our part in particular, and things that we find difficult to understand and so on, what about the idea that there are some things which we might be incapable of understanding? Now, all I'm doing at the moment is trying to explain to you what I mean by saying the mind-body problem is a mystery. I'm not trying to, at this moment, demonstrate to you that it is a mystery.